Good afternoon. So I think I'm the closing act for this session. So my responsibility. So I'll be describing the public health problem of healthcare-associated infections in the United States and the response of the U.S. federal government to this problem. My name is Ronnie Jiva. My first name is Rita, but I go by my middle name, Ronnie. And I'm actually presenting on this because of my my work at the Office of the Secretary at HHS, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, ran this program starting in 2008, and it's still a somewhat ongoing program, so that's why I'm presenting this program. But in full disclosure, I'm actually employed at ARC, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality now. I just recently left. But I was a public health advisor and the HAI team leader while I was at the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health. I have no relevant relationships to disclose. So first, some background. What are healthcare-associated infections? These are infections that patients acquire during the course of treatment in any healthcare setting, including acute care hospitals, ambulatory care facilities, long-term care facilities, such as skilled nursing facilities. They're associated with a variety of risk factors, including indwelling medical devices, such as bloodstream and urinary catheters, surgical procedures, injections, environmental contamination, and disease transmission between patients and potentially healthcare personnel. And the widespread use of antimicrobial drugs also helps to account for the prevalence of healthcare-associated infections, including infections by antibiotic-resistant organisms. We're also seeing increasing complexity in the healthcare delivery system. So we're seeing patients traveling between facility types within a region. We're seeing increasingly complex procedures being performed outside the walls of acute care hospitals, so in outpatient facilities, which are typically not as regulated or have not as many, they're not as accredited, that sort of thing, compared to acute care hospitals. So we're seeing the increasing complexity of our healthcare delivery system also contribute to this problem. And a somewhat negative culture in healthcare. Not all healthcare facilities, but in some where there may be a fear of reporting near misses or adverse events because of negative consequences associated with that, when those are real learning opportunities, especially near misses, that we can really learn from those opportunities and put some systems in to prevent those adverse events before they happen. We're also seeing a hierarchical sort of culture that can inhibit teamwork or communication among healthcare providers. Okay, and the morbidity and mortality associated with healthcare-associated infections is really staggering. We have older data from 2002 that shows 1.7 million infections per year with an associated 99,000 deaths. And those numbers are really staggering if you compare them to other public health problems such as breast cancer, motor vehicle accidents, those type of things. We have that study showed more deaths associated with healthcare-associated infections than those other public health issues. Some newer data, we have 1 in 20 hospital inpatients will contract a healthcare-associated infection during the course of their stay. That's sourced from the CDC. Data from ARC shows 23.3 infectious adverse events happening per 1,000 discharges. And we really don't have any good data for the number of adverse events occurring in ambulatory care. And we're also seeing an increasing need for the involvement of public health. So, for example, our current systems with the way that patients travel between facilities or facility types can't really track, for example, if a patient contracts a surgical site infection as a result of their care at an outpatient or ambulatory facility, they may present with an infection at an acute care facility, but our current data systems can't track or link the care that was received at one facility type with the infection that's presented or counted in an acute care facility, when that information would be really crucial to track and to link. Our systems just aren't able to track or report that information. So many of you are probably familiar with TAER's Human, the IOM report that was really influential in pushing a lot of movement within patient safety. For us, within the federal government, this report released in 2008 from the Government Accountability Office was a very powerful motivator. And you can tell from the title that it was very negative. Leadership needed from HHS to prioritize prevention practices and improve data on these infections. So it was a very clear sort of call to action for us in the federal government that we're not doing enough. And they had a couple main findings. One was that more coordination was needed within the federal government to align programs across entities, so across CDC, ARC, CMS, You would think it's very easy for these programs to work together, but in theory, it's actually very complicated, and it doesn't really happen. So when there's a way to coordinate activities or programs across these huge, powerful organizations, it seems logical, but it's hard to do, but it's very powerful. So the GAO also said more leadership was needed from HHS, but it also said that we needed to prioritize prevention practices. So there were numerous guidelines, produced by the CDC that were too voluminous for healthcare providers to implement. So they asked us to prioritize the numerous existing recommended clinical practices and prioritize them to ease their implementation in healthcare facilities. And they also asked us to reduce silos across our agencies with regards to the various IT systems that we were using to track infections. So basically, we have a surveillance system at CDC that uses a certain methodology for capturing infection numbers on infections, and we have more claims-based data from other parts of HHS, and we were getting basically different numbers from different systems. So they encouraged, and the folks weren't working across agencies to kind of maximize the learning opportunities. So they encouraged us to make sure that we were working together. So that's the problem. What was the federal government's response? Well, in 2008, we started work on what's called the National Action Plan to Prevent Healthcare-Associated Infections. And this plan was a document. You can find it on the internet. It's 200 pages. It's very long. But what was actually really powerful was just getting public health leaders, program leaders across the agency, along with folks from some other agencies like the Department of Defense, to work together. So what we did was establish measurable goals. We said that we needed to have measure. We need to agree on how we would measure certain types of things, certain types of infections like central line associated bloodstream infections. We had to make sure that we were counting that the same across the country. And we instituted very real outcome measures, or we used very real outcome measures and very real goals. So for example, we had a 50% reduction in central line associated bloodstream infections by the end of 2013. And we were encouraged to improve central coordination of our programs. So this was also very powerful, thank you, and very helpful to connect, for example, evidence-based guidelines that are produced at CDC with payment policies that are developed at CMS. So in reality, the payment policies that are developed at CMS should be based on the latest science, the latest research that's happening in other parts of the agency, but that's actually not easy to do. So that was one thing that we were able to do through this program. We were able to leverage multiple programs across HHS that didn't know about each other, but all their work was actually influential on patient safety. And this work was led out of the Office of the Secretary, which is, on paper, a very good place to lead because it can minimize sort of the fighting that can happen between various agencies like NIH versus ARC versus CDC. That just happened not because people are into fighting, but just because it happens with organizational fighting for resources. And we were also encouraged to, or we also were able to enhance partnerships with various stakeholders, including the public health community. And we pursued a phased approach to the problem, meaning our first phase of work was focused on infections that occur in acute care hospitals. And we have data that shows about 3/4 of healthcare-associated infections occur in acute care facilities. It was very logical to just start on what we could focus on where we had the best data. We have the best data on what's happening in acute care hospitals. There's more accreditation, there's more oversight, there's more payment policies that affect care that happens in acute care hospitals. There's more personnel. Like infection control personnel that work in acute care hospitals, where having folks with appropriate expertise just gets harder as you go away from the hospital setting. So our first phase was focused on acute care hospitals, and we focused on, I won't go through all of this, but C. diff and MRSA, surgical site infections, and then various device-associated infections like ventilator-associated pneumonia. Too fast. Okay, now our second phase focused on the ambulatory setting. So basically, we pursued the hardest first, I mean the easiest first, sorry, and went to the ambulatory setting, ambulatory surgical centers, end-stage renal disease facilities, and we also looked at flu vaccination with healthcare personnel and sort of framing it as a patient safety issue to reduce transmission of influenza to the patient. And our last phase, which we just started in 2010, was focused on reducing healthcare-associated infections in long-term care facilities. Okay, so I had referenced before that having measurable goals was really powerful for us. In the government, a lot of times if there's a public health program, there can be numerous ways to measure it across the government. So CMS may measure it one way, ARC may measure it another way. It was actually very powerful for us just to use the same measure, so across agencies. And the measure that we used, for example, for central line-associated bloodstream infections, that measure was then able to be included in policy. So it's included in payment policies like pay for reporting out of CMS, and then in the Affordable Care Act, there's a hospital value-based purchasing program that basically will introduce pay for performance, which will be really powerful, but it's all using the same measure. So we can all direct our efforts on counting, calling a central line associated bloodstream infection in one part of the country the same as in another part of the country, and using that same measure for surveillance, using the same measure for all the way to payment policy. So that was very powerful. This is sort of our report card that we're using. And it was also very powerful for communications because we would report results on an annual basis, and so the country, everybody would know how well we're doing. We would know how well we're doing according to the same report card, according to the same measure. Okay, some of our basic tenets of our program was just implementation of proven methods. So there is a lot of evidence that shows how to prevent certain types of healthcare-associated infections in certain settings. For example, we have a lot of data about like central line-associated bloodstream infections and how to reduce that, specifically in ICUs. The farther out we get outside of ICUs, the less evidence we have. But we do have a lot of evidence that shows how to prevent a lot of these infections. So our tenet was to implement programs and interventions that have proven to work. We also focused on culture change, so the environment for these clinical interventions to work and providing the culture that will actually allow them to work or allow them to be implemented. And we focused on system improvements rather than individual blame. So what are the systems that are set up, not just in an individual healthcare facility, but at our level in the government, and what needs to be broken down so that these systems can work. And we also focused on very powerful incentives, such as public reporting of facility-specific rates, which has now gone into effect. So for some of these infection types, like central line-associated bloodstream infections, hospitals have very powerful financial incentives to report that information and make it available on CMS websites or state-specific websites. And our solution was really one of each level doing its part, and there was a lot of work to do at the national level, and we're still doing it. And to allow for a lot of local level adaptation of interventions. So since patient populations differ across the country, since even germs themselves will differ across the country, or the different ones that are specific in different healthcare facilities, we allowed for a lot of toolkits to spring up, but then a lot of local level adaptation of tools. So we didn't want the government to be telling each individual healthcare facility you have to do X, because there is a lot of variation that's out there. But what we wanted to be consistent was measurement, so everyone would be counting the same things. Okay, conclusions and results. So what has been our successes so far? So this is my favorite slide that I love showing in presentations, but it actually shows outcome data. This is our report card that I referenced earlier, but we're actually seeing that we're on track to meet a lot of our goals in our original program that's focused on acute care hospitals. Our biggest success story is central line-associated bloodstream infections, where we're well on track to achieve a 50% reduction over a five-year period. So we have preliminary data for... We have data for the for 2009, 10, and 11 that shows that we're on the right track. And we also use data from other systems like claims-based data that also validates this trend. So across multiple measurement systems, using multiple evaluation methods, we're showing that we're reducing central line-associated bloodstream infections across the country. Some of the others we're having a little bit harder time with, such as C. diff and catheter-associated urinary tract infections. But in general, we're seeing a lot of progress. And so what are the challenges, continuing challenges to implementing a long-term program, especially at the national level? We do have a lack of evidence to support some components being widely implemented, for example, public reporting. So the farther away that we go from like the actual ICU, we have less and less data to show that some of these programmatic elements will work. So even for our national program, it's very hard to do evaluation at such a sort of broad, comprehensive program. But we've actually been working on an evaluation of our program, and we should be publishing findings on it in the next year or so. But for some of the components that are being implemented across the country, such as public reporting initiatives, we don't have a lot of evidence to support that they work. And we also have limited stable funding. So at the state level, public health departments are having a hard time. Facilities are having a hard time. And even in the national program, a lot of our funding has been cut or just, I mean, right, I was out of work for a couple of weeks when there was a government shutdown. So there's a lot of issues with stable funding of these programs. And coordination of multiple parties and programs continues to be a challenge. So we have lots of folks who are working in patient safety, lots of folks with, for example, QI programs to address central lung-associated bloodstream infections. And it's a challenge to make sure that all of this is coordinated and not duplicative. But we have a lot of opportunities. So we have some federal investments in some areas. So in the Affordable Care Act, there is a program called the Partnership for Patients, which many of you may be familiar with, but that was actually a $1 billion investment in improving patient safety. And a big chunk of that money went towards efforts to help healthcare-associated infections. ARC, where I work now, has investments for research, implementation science, dissemination of programs that work. We also have some political support. So there's continuing political sort of movement to support work on healthcare-associated infections. And the biggest indicator of our success is the decrease in incidence rates. That's what's most encouraging for me, that we're showing progress. So, and there is, since it was really challenging trying to fit a whole national program into 12 slides, there's another session tomorrow afternoon, which will be a longer session, on the same national program that I presented on, especially, and as well as a couple states will be presenting on their state-level programs. So that's tomorrow at 12:30 in the other location. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, everybody. I'm reminded one of the programs I work with looks at Medicaid and the degree to which the states are complying with this requirement. Unfortunately, our sample is a statistical sample that's very small to check the accuracy of Medicaid payment and then to look at hospital records. But those kinds of things can be expanded in the future, I think, to combine, you know, our various programs, especially under the Affordable Care Act. Any questions for the panel as a whole? We have a few minutes, and everybody's been amazing in sticking with their time frame. Any questions anybody would like to raise, or among the panelists themselves? Well, thank you very much. Spend some time talking to the individuals, and maybe you can get information from them face-to-face and talk to them about their studies. Thank you so much.